portion of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians that we have heard today offers the Christians in Corinth and us reassurance. So much so that part of this reading and the passages that follow in chapter 5 are included in the list of optional readings for burial service, which we rightfully refer to as celebrations of life. Paul boldly claims, "We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence." He doesn't say, "We think this is true," or "Hopefully everything that has been said will fall into place so that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus." He says, "We know. We have no doubt about this. We're not giving it a second thought. We know that what God has said and done in Jesus is true, and that we, having been brought into life with Jesus, will not be lost in death, but will be raised with Jesus and returned to God. That is our hope. And that's the news we are to share with the world, that this God loves us and has gone so far as to die for us, and in doing so has beaten death so that we can live with him eternally." That eternal life concept is a tricky thing, though. Sometimes folks have the understanding that eternal life only starts at death, or that it's a do-over, maybe even a reboot of the life we have now. There's a lot of talk in church groups that gives that implication. Until just a few years ago, I would say to myself, and sometimes even out loud, "In my next life, ... For example, I'd think, "In my next life, I'm going to be a man so that my voice will be listened to over the female voices in a meeting." Or, "In my next life, I'm going to be an extrovert so that I'm more comfortable in a room full of people I don't know." All my flaws and faults and discomforts of daily life would be gone in my next life. And somehow that sounded like an apt description of the promise of heaven to me. The problem with that sort of thinking is that it overlooks this life, the God-given life that has been set before me right now. In this sort of thinking, it's easy to ignore or overlook or miss the importance and opportunities of each day of living right now. Neither Paul nor the more important Jesus allude to a do-over life or a chance to finally get right life right after death. Not at all. What we have is life, eternal life, that begins right here, right now. This is life lived in the knowledge of the love that has been given to us that allows us to live life now with all the richness life has to offer. Paul describes this crazy plan of God like this: "Everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." All of this, all of creation, all of your life, all of this life-giving, life-sustaining love has been done for you. Everything has been done for you. For all of you. For all the world. So that grace, as it reaches more and more people, will increase thanksgiving as a response to that unlimited grace, to the glory of God. That's just crazy. That's radically crazy. God gave up his life to bring us into fearless, never-ending life with him, so that we would know the enormity of this gift of grace and share it with everyone else. And when we understand the broad spectrum of this grace, we would respond in thanksgiving and give glory to God. Wow. That really blows the windows and doors wide open. This gift is not just for us, not just for a select few. It is for everyone. Good people and bad, nice people and mean people, Americans and the rest of the world, everyone. Grace and love offered freely to an equal measure is crazy. Jesus certainly found that to be true. He was going around healing everyone who came to him in need of healing. Whatever sort of healing they needed, he freely offered them. He didn't care about the rules or norms of society of the day. Those rules that required lepers to stay a safe distance from clean people. Those rules that said a woman cannot speak to, much less touch the robe of a man. Those rules that said that non-Jews were subhuman and unworthy of the opportunities that upstanding Jewish men were afforded by virtue of their privilege of having been born into the line that traced their descendants to Abraham. You know, it seems that these very folks that Jesus related to the most, the very ones that the leaders wanted to keep out, the very folks that the good church and state leaders wanted to be rid of. And we hear today how folks recognize what Jesus was doing, spreading love and grace that leads to healing, and that was crazy. Word was out that he was crazy, but even the best rumor mill, which called his sanity into question, could not keep the throngs of needy people from coming to Jesus. Naturally, his family was worried, perhaps both for his health and his sanity. So they go to try to talk some sense into him. Take a break, they say. You're causing too much of a fuss. All this healing and traveling has taken a toll on your health. Take a vacation. A few days rest won't hurt anything, they want to tell him. Come home and get some well-deserved time off. These sick and needy folks will still be here when you get back. Or maybe it's time to let someone else take over. This has really gotten to you, they wanted to say. Others took their attempts to derail Jesus to a totally different level. They said he had a demon himself, the big one, Beelzebul. This is how it goes always when people are threatened, even by something as wonderful as love and grace. They'll start making up things, trying to be rid of what makes them uncomfortable. And Jesus, the perfect example of undying love, is not dissuaded. He doesn't skip a beat, but turns their own ridiculous accusations against them. Someone says in his ear, "Your family's here at the door. They want to talk to you." Knowing that his family will be bothered by the accusations and rumors that are swelling, he refuses to see them, and he reframes the definition of what family truly means. And for those who do not have loving families of origin, these words of Jesus offer grace and healing as well. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Family is much broader than blood. The family of Jesus is all who do the will of God, which is to spread the news of the freely offered love and grace which heals the world. That love and grace have been given to each of us to heal our sin-sick souls and restore us to fullness of life. That life-giving and life-sustaining offer is on the table every moment and every second of every day. It's not something that happens when you leave this mortal life. It's here now. Let that settle into your heart and into your soul. Then go out and share your thankfulness and love in this divided and frightened world. Amen.